It's your headline to unpack.
It's your one story to follow week by week.
It's your Wordle to work through.
It's your team to track.
It's your 36 hours to explore.
It's your marinade to master.
It's your opinion to figure out.
It's your mattress to upgrade.
It's your day to know what else you need to know today.
The New York Times. It's your world to understand. Find out more at nytimes.com/yourworld.
Hello, Popcast.
What is up, Popcast?
Hey, Popcast, John and Joe.
Hello, John, Joe.
Hi, John and Joe.
Greetings, Earthlings, good people.
What's going on, Popcast?
Listening to my song of...
My song of the summer. Delighted to be asked what my song of the summer is.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your highest elevation of music news and criticism. I'm John Caramonica, critic of the New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a culture reporter at the New York Times.
Joe, it's summer.
For now.
Fake season. But still, it's summer.
Is that meteorological?
I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. It's not like, real. It's not real. So
we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to it. It's summer. And a lot of times people, they'll see me in the streets.
Yep.
See me driving in a car. And they're screaming. They're screaming. What's the song of the summer, John? Walk through the halls of the New York Times.
Yeah.
Third floor.
Your editor finds you.
What's the song of the summer?
Yep.
And it's a question that shakes me to my core because I know that it's premised upon a lie. There is no song of the summer. It's not a real thing.
I would argue that it has been historically.
Sure.
There are summers with songs that will forever be associated with those like sweaty months. Like
yes.
There's the summer of Work by Rihanna and Drake. Yes. There's the summer of Despacito.
Sure.
By Justin Bieber and others. Luis Fonsi.
I can't believe but Bieber first.
Well, you
unbelievable.
Know, that was a moment.
And Club. Also, I want to point out the song of the summer idea, in my mind, first gained currency off of a New York Times article from 1995.
Is that true?
Do you know about this article?
No.
1995, I think it was in the magazine. It's by Stephen Talty, and it was about the summer of You're All I Need to Get By, Method Man and Mary J. Blige. And it's an entire feature-length article about how that song was spreading in New York throughout the summer.
Incredible.
It was the first time I ever really thought about it in those terms.
I think I named songs from semi-recent history, but that also feel like they were a million years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In terms of culture being fractured since then.
Yes.
And I think what's happened is as we've moved further and further from the idea of a monoculture, the idea of a one zeitgeist, the idea that we're all sharing in popular culture together. It's this song is unavoidable. It's on MTV. It's on the radio. It's in commercials. Like that has been so chipped away at by the internet and streaming and
snippets on TikTok as opposed to full songs.
Political and ideological silos.
Yep.
Like now I think where we've landed is that you can have a song of the summer. Your world can have a song of the summer, your scene, your milieu. Like, there are songs of the summer. What there's way less of is a defining thing that covers everybody or some almost definition of everybody. And I think, like, that's really been missing in music over the last handful of years. I think there are people who, myself included, would take it back. Like, if there was a undisputed champion of the summer of 2025, I would be grateful.
Where was Drake with that song?
Or Rihanna.
Or Rihanna.
Et cetera,
CC 2024, yeah. CC 2023, CC 2022.
And I think that goes for a lot of artists who are not necessarily delivering us that perfectly gift-wrapped package for Memorial Day weekend that then carries.
It felt like an idea that people aimed towards. Like you would even, I feel like I would even get press releases for things in April and May that would say, oh, we're orienting this to hit late May, early June. And now I think it's so unpredictable. And the way that especially TikTok has kind of like delinearized consumption culture. So I think for a lot of people, their song of the summer, my song of the summer, might end up being a snippet of something that came out 6 months ago that all of a sudden is newly popular again. It doesn't feel as connected to lived reality as maybe it once did.
One of the other things I think you were alluding to, the idea that this is like a creation, a media creation, is that it comes out of a need for content. It is good preliminary speculation, what's going to be the song of the summer. It is good in the moment documentation. Oh, this song really making a run for song of the summer. What's emerged? Yeah. You know, you can do rankings, you can do countdowns. You can do look backs retrospectively. What was the song of the summer? All of this is possible and even fun for people whose job it is to explore these things.
So in response to the urge for song of the summer content, how many philosophical treatises can I possibly issue about the falsity of the song of the summer context? We said the hell with that. What do we know? We're just two guys covering pop music at the New York Times. What could we possibly know about how music functions? Not much. Let's ask some people. Let's tap in. Let's reach out and tap in. And that's what we did. We reached out.
Yeah, we tapped in.
We sure did. we have selections from, is it 10 people?
I think we have 10 notable names.
They're notable.
We asked these 10 people what the song of this summer for them was. We wanted to touch a wide swath of people. So we did not only or primarily reach out to musicians, but people who we come across in our daily lives, on our screens, reading the newspaper, watching television.
Who we think know something.
Yeah, who we think know something interesting about a specific slice of the world, whatever world they may live in. And the answers we got back.
We got some unexpected answers.
Wide ranging.
Yeah. And at least one or two songs that I myself had to play for the first time. Not my summer, you know? But what we're going to do on this episode is we're going to play the video that was sent to us, selfie cams.
Crucially, these are not cameos. We did not pay for these.
No, Lord, no, no.
This is journalism.
This is journalism. You did outreach. I was asked, I won't say for who, but I did reach out to one well-known person whose representative asked, what's the budget for this project?
One well-known person who may or may not have almost won a reality show this summer?
No comment. the budget is love, joy, and embrace of the creative arts.
Hopefully, through some amalgamation of all of the voices that we're hearing from on this episode, maybe come to your own conclusion about what the song of the summer was or even what the sound of the summer was.
Should we do a poll?
You want to do a poll? Should we vote out of these?
Yeah, I think we should do a poll.
Okay, and we're going to throw picks in the mix also, you and I, by the end of the episode.
Correct.
So we'll have a 12-song playlist.
Great.
People can pick what they think.
They can pick my song or a wrong song. Okay. So that's great.
All right, we'll try it.
Yeah. First one.
Okay, so our first submission is from Taylor Rooks. You know her from covering the NBA, covering the NFL, sports broadcaster and journalist, Taylor Rooks. Host of the Taylor Rooks X podcast on Bleacher Report. We were very grateful that Taylor took time right after she got married to submit this video to us. Congratulations.
Great summer. Big summer energy.
Congrats to Taylor and her new husband. Here's her pick.
Hi, John and Joe. It's Taylor Rooks, and I'm so excited to tell you about my song of the summer, which is Daisies by Justin Bieber. Growing up, I was very much so a believer. So when Justin announced that he was doing a surprise album, I knew I was going to listen to it. The minute it came out, I instantly fell in love with Daisies. It's the perfect summer song. Something about it is super nostalgic. The beat is so catchy. I love the lyrics. Justin Bieber's voice is still as soothing as ever. Daisies has been on repeat and will continue to be on repeat all summer. That's my jam.
Taylor Rooks, do you think Taylor watched the Song of the Week video that we did on Justin Bieber?
If she has not, you are more than welcome to.
Bieber's back. Get in. Let's talk about it.
We encourage it. Link in bio. Daisies, a great pick. Swag, a very good album. Also, came out in the summer, but I don't necessarily think of it as a summer album, but I think that song in particular does have some of that bright, shiny energy, and I respect that.
Let's listen to a little bit of Daisies.
Yeah, for sure.
The way you got me on in my head.
One thing I will say about Daisies that I think makes it a great song of the summer is that it's replayable. I've heard it probably 100 times since it came out like 3 weeks ago, and I'm not sick of it at all. And I think when you're thinking back to the era of like, this is on the radio every 30 minutes, Daisy's has that quality where it just gets better and better to me.
The only thing I will say, not in disagreement, but in compliment with what you're saying, is when we're talking about what certain songs of the summer in the past had been, they're all very like showy and ecstatic. Mm-hmm. This is actually not. There's something, even though there's a brightness to it, it's a reticent song. And so I never feel like it's kind of like jumping out at you. And I think a lot of the things that we were talking about that maybe are hallmarks of what other folks think songs of the summer are, tends to be brighter and vaster and frankly, a little more annoying. But this is a little bit like, you want to have a chill summer? Come hang out.
Chill as hell.
Next submission is from, first of all, big team up energy. Absolute big team up energy.
Flintstones meet the Jetsons.
Yes. When I was young and collected comic books, my favorite comic books to collect were Marvel team ups, which brought in superheroes from different things. So this is the Marvel team up. Ezra Klein is here. Ezra Klein, a known head, like an absolute music guy.
Big music guy, which is why we had to reach out to him.
We had to reach out.
Like, no shots at Ross up on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
We love all our friends and opinion.
But I knew in my heart, I was like, Ezra is going to have a good pick. He's going to put us on game. Ezra put us on game, I think.
Go listen to the Ezra Klein Show anywhere obviously. You get your podcasts.
What is up, podcast? I'm Ezra Klein from the New York Times. I'm delighted to be asked what my song of the summer is.
Look at this guy. Yeah, someone should give him a video podcast.
Like, evident delight.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to say, which is Wax Cap by D-Drum, by Drum, I don't know how you say his name, but Under a Tangled Silence is my favorite album of the year. Wax Cap.
This guy already has album of the year.
His song's got songs.
It's only early August.
But me would see that as a song of the summer. It's not exactly a bop. And so I've been racking my brains on this. Like, what am I going to tell you? What am I going to say to the legions of podcast listeners? And then Jamie XX gave me an answer. He released last night, what is it called? Dream Night. And so I love JVXX. I loved In Waves. I loved In Color. But man, Dream Night is something special. And it's a bop. It's like pulsive. It's beautiful. And it's summer. And like, how do you want to feel in summer? You want to feel free. You want to feel like it will go on forever. Like the best moments of it will never end. And in this song, he stretches the word free, the lyric free, on and on and on. Like you could live in that one lyric the way he does it. It has just been on repeat in my ears. Like I think I've listened to it 20 times in the last 24 hours. That actually might be an underestimate. So I love it and I hope you do too.
Can I just say like a palpable joy coming from this guy in talking about the music that he loves? Like, that's what you want when you're hearing somebody else's song of the summer.
Absolutely. And I had not heard this song. I've now heard it, but let's play a little bit of this Jamie XX record. We shall
be. Big day party energy.
Oh my God. 1:45 p.m. outside.
Been up since the night before.
Light cloud cover.
Oh yeah.
You kidding me? Unbelievable. So that's a sample. It's a Terry Collier sample. And one thing I can say is I am old enough to have lived through the first Terry Collier resurgence in like the early 2000s. All my giant step heads out there, they know.
Unk, what was it like?
Yeah. Thanks for being my TikTok comments. I appreciate that.
No, jeez. But tell me who Terry Collier is.
So there was a moment in the kind of like, we've recovered a lost soul classic. I believe there was like a reissue program for some of Terry's earlier work. But there was a moment where people really were taking to Terry's unheralded stuff. And now it's like very much part of the discourse and clearly being picked up by Jamie XX.
And I think obviously Jamie XX, master crate digger, really good at using samples, but also like Ezra was saying, like lets them breathe. Like we'll let you really hear a vocalist, even if it's a vocalist from the past.
Yeah.
And then often combine them with a vocalist from the present or the future. Yes. In the case of Young Thug and Gil Scott-Heron. Mm-hmm.
That was a jam.
It works.
You can't argue with that.
Cannot be mad.
To your point, and I think we're going to see this a lot. A lot of our outreach went to people who go to day parties.
I mean, that brings us to our next submission.
This is an unbelievable song.
You mean that in a very specific way. This is also an unbelievable get for Popcast, even if it's a digital submission.
Yeah. What I do want to say is like, sometimes I feel like I leave the room and I come back and you've like moved something. This guest is a perfect example of, I feel like I turned for 30 seconds and I came back and who submitted a video?
This is Kristen Cavallari, reality show legend, Laguna Beach, The Hills.
That would be Kristen, another junior. Wherever Kristen went, drama followed.
My car is donezo.
Wait, first of all, no Whitney Port, no Lo Bosworth.
Like, it's Kristen, like the queen bee of all of that.
Can I say Whitney or Lo if you want to tell me what your summer
song
is?
Yeah, put it in the comments.
No, or send a video.
Kristen, now a podcast superstar, went to go see her live when she was here in town, her podcast.
That's right, you did.
I felt like it was
What was that like?
It was both a trip to my past of loving Laguna Beach. It was a trip to my future for when we sell out Beacon Theater, yeah. Town Hall, or wherever that was.
Big Facts Podcast Live coming soon. Coming sooner than you think.
And it was market research because I didn't know that all those girls lived in New York, but here they were surrounding me as if we were live in Nashville.
Yeah.
Kristen, thank you for this video and thank you for all of the content you've given us over the years.
Hi, John and Joe. It is Kristen Cavallari, and I cannot stop listening to my song of the summer, which is Glide by Naked and Portugal the Man. This collab just instantly puts you in a good mood. It's really catchy. It has that feel-good vibe, which that just reminds me of summer. It makes you want to get up and dance and have a good time.
She just has like access to a different algorithm than I do. Like,
100%.
I don't know where this came from.
I never heard this. Okay, but I learned something earlier, but I've never heard this song before.
Yes. So this is Glide by Naked and Portugal the Man. Portugal the Man, a successful pop rock group?
If you say so.
With a period in their name? Naked, we learned. Is a Swedish supergroup of writers and producers. Sure. But
all quote marks around everything you just
turns
said.
Turns out we've both heard a Naked song before.
Yes, which and surprised me.
The one with Polo G that was super viral on TikTok.
Huge TikTok record.
Better Days.
I did not know that that was Polo G rapping that song, and I did not know that it was this group who produced or collaborated on this song. So shout out to Naked for having the stealthiest viral TikTok hit.
I get it, you know? I understand where she's hearing this song. Like, I don't know what the hot hotel in Nashville is, but I know that at their day party, this is, like, banging.
Oh.
She leads a very different life than we do.
I'm grateful for everybody who submitted videos and participated in this grand social experiment. One of the great things about criticism is the innate understanding that everybody comes with a distinct taste profile, and the longer I do this, the more I honor a vast diversity of taste profiles. I find this song odd. I find it a little odd.
In how normal it is?
It does. It hovers at a pitch that I'm not used to accessing songs. Right. Yeah. But I'm also glad to know about the Polo G song. So we learned a lot.
Yeah, we did. We got a history lesson from Glide by Naked and Portugal the Man.
So sure did.
Thank you, Kristen.
Up next, something that I think is probably going to be a little bit of a pivot. We were thinking about people from different worlds. We're just like, oh, you know, like Robert Caro. You know, like, what are we doing?
He didn't get back to us.
No DM response. And we were sort of like identifying different spaces. And we said fashion. Like, who's a good person who makes clothes, who cares about music? And of course, I happen to know Tremaine Emery from Denim Tears, recently did a big block party with Hot 97. I know listens to music very carefully and closely. Dropped him a line. I said, I know you must have something for this. Sure enough, he did.
John and Joe was good. This is Tremaine Emery, courtesy of Popcast. And my song in the summer is a POV by The Clips featuring Tyler, the Creator. Just everything I want in a rap record. The production, the verses, everyone's rapping their hearts out. Like, it's their first song and they're trying to get on. The way the beat drops out when Malice comes in at the end. Tyler, you know, the way he ended the verse, the curse of the zeros, where you either become the devil or tap dance a Negro. Push.
Color Rolls Royce, we like Sally's here. The only Audi here is driven by my au pair.
Had to Google that. You know what I mean? Malice. And he's like, came back for the money. That's the devil in me. had to hide it from the church. That's the Jekyll in me. You know, the verses are just incredible. And then the production by P, and just the generational gap connected through Tyler and the clips and P, it's just incredible, man. And, you know, the eight ball hook, like a Mobb Deep or Chef and Ray song from Cuban Links or Hell on Earth. All of it's incredible, man. And it's just, that's why it's my song in the summer. And yeah, thank you.
Better than some of these rap podcasters out there.
No comment.
And breaking down the bars.
No comment. The Old Pair line to me is really good. And it really captures the thing that obviously, I hear the clips rollout was good.
Yeah. Thank you, Ari Melber.
Yeah. So I hear the clips rollout is good. I hear it was influential in hip hop media. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I think was missing a little bit is everybody's obviously very excited to talk about the beefs and the tensions and the clips. Of,
ourselves included.
Yes, and social media clips just glomming on all that stuff. Yeah. Maybe not enough discussion of the bars.
Right, and a lot of bars on this album.
Plenty of bars.
Some of the most barry bars of recent times.
As Jeezy might say, his bars have bars.
Yeah.
And so that Au Pair line, obviously, very deep special. Push. Yeah, that sneer, that sort of like, I know this thing, but you don't know it, and I'm going to say it to you in such a way that you know it's disrespectful, but you don't even really know what hit you.
Yeah. Yeah, the babysitter is driving an Audi.
Unbelievable. And because that's – because who would – why would we?
Because that's a Camry to me.
Yeah, literally. Like, why would we? Also, I'm glad that Tremaine pointed out the generational connection, because Pharrell, obviously, we identify so closely with Clips, and then we identify closely with Tyler, but I feel like for two different things, and this is one moment where all of those – disparate sort of threads are like united together. It's a good record. It's one of the better songs on this album.
And you mentioned Tremaine had a block party.
Yes.
Clips performed.
You must be sick. All you talk about is just getting rich.
It's around 8:30. Crowd was wild. Like, it was like a good, it felt down to, it was like, I don't know. You don't really go to a lot of things in New York that feel down to earth. It was a very down to earth Saturday, late afternoon into evening event. Wholesome, and then the clip showed up and sneered at everybody. It was great. Good times.
So let's listen to a little bit of POV by Clips and Tyler the Creator.
POV kilos in my back. Take Amtrak down south, then she flies back. My connect has ponytails tied back. I just hit 6 mil behind Tyvek.
It's not only the pronunciation of Au Pair, yeah, which, you know, he schooled me already,
yep,
on Wi-Fi versus Wi-Fi on Air France. But also the way you know he's really rich is that he says Maybach instead of Maybach.
Correct.
You don't hear the correct pronunciation a lot.
Yeah, it's that particular cadence, rhyme structure. It like scratches like an extremely, I think, primal itch in a certain stripe of rap fan.
Certain age of rap fan.
Next!
All right, this next submission came from, like we said, friend of the show, Popcast Universe, early citizen of the Popcast Universe.
Early citizen, yes.
Jelly Roll came through with a very matter-of-fact, very strong pick.
What's up, y'all? It's Jelly Roll, and my song of the summer is Cliche by MGK. My boy got me out here dancing.
Can I just say, Jelly looking incredible, like
absolutely,
like $2 million,
glowing
for
absolutely sure, absolutely glowing. I do think Jelly cheated a tiny bit, yes, like him and MGK, they're friends,
as you know, if you watch our recent interview with MGK, go do that.
They have worked together in the past, yep, but this is not a song. The rules were, if we didn't state them clearly, couldn't be on a song that you worked on, or involved in the creation of. We probably should have said no friends.
But then what do you, you know, we're all friends here, are we not? We asked our friends, they picked their friends. Cliche by MGK, as discussed with him.
Yes.
A bit of a controversial song when it came out, you know, the video, he's dancing in it.
He's doing a Blink-182 thing.
He's doing like a Blink-182 thing, but like even more down the middle pop. I think.
I mean, video-wise, the video. Yeah.
Sure. But overall, just very...
He's answering the critics.
Yeah.
Is, I think, what you're looking for.
It's a very commercial stab for him. And I think in its way, because it sounds so commercial, it is in its way a risk. And I think MGK felt that. He's obviously very proud of this song. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it's really grown on me. I think it is an extremely catchy record, and I like to hear it. Let's listen to a little bit of Cliche by MGK.
It sounds cliche, but tell me, would you wait for me? Baby, I'm a rolling stone. I got a lot of right in me, but I don't want to say this wrong.
It does feel like also the logical continuation of the last two albums, which were moves towards pop punk and kind of leaning into what eventually I think was always going to be a pure pop turn. Never knew what shape it was going to take or exactly what shading, but it always felt like it was going in that direction. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely and 0 being no way, could you do that dance routine?
No way.
Like you're a 0?
I'm a 0.
I'm a 10.
All right, prove it. See you on TikTok, boss.
Bonus footage.
Look, you want to tell Bob Dylan this song isn't good?
This is music that celebrates the beauty found in the in-between spaces where the past is reimagined.
Like, go for it. You know, like you want to sit Bob Dylan down and be like, this is a bad song?
He's actually in the passenger seat on the car right there. Okay, up next, something different.
Yeah.
First of all, it's from a peer. It's Amelia de Moldenberg. From Chicken Shop Date.
I mean, we'd be lucky to be tier, but
that's someday, you had a hang with Amelia.
It's true. We were seated next to each other at a concert, and it was really nice to meet her. I turned to her and I said, big fan.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Amelia sent through a song, one of the songs on this list that I had not heard before. Mm-hmm.
Let's let Amelia introduce it.
Please.
Hello, podcast. It's Amelia de Moldenberg, and my song of the summer is The Sofa by Wolf Alice. I think it's the perfect ode to having a restful summer in the blistering heat, which London is hotter than ever. And I think there's nothing more I want to do than draw the blinds, chill on the sofa, and escape the humidity of London. It's such a glorious, peaceful, mostly magical song. And I think it kind of makes you pause and rest and be and contemplate what you want your summer to be. And it can be very hectic at times. And I think Ellie's voice is absolutely stunning. And I can listen to that song again and again. So yeah, check it out. The Sofa by Wolf Alice.
Okay, so not to be like, I was just in London, but I was just in London.
As was I. We both spent a little time in London this summer. Quite hot.
I found it unbearably hot. Like, I think I'm still slightly tan for me from like 2 weeks ago coming back. I found it like uncommonly unbearably hot. Hard to be in certain places because there's no air conditioning pretty much anywhere. But I will say one thing that I really related to about this pick as an idea is that summer should be restful.
Mm. Introvert summer.
I have not had a particularly rested summer.
And it doesn't sound like Amelia has either. That was like the submission of somebody who's really busy and wants to just be lying on their couch.
And listening to this, apparently. Let's check it out. Oh, a couch in the video.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
The sofa.
It is the sofa.
Yeah, this is a very specific kind of summer.
This makes me feel like, does Amelia need a vacation from her vacation?
Yes.
Okay.
Give this girl some time off. Too many chicken chop days.
Yes, seriously. I hope she's okay. I hope she's okay.
Sad song.
That's my take. My take is I hope she's okay. Song. Look, you can have seasonal depression during any season. Very tuneful, though. Okay, up next, we had an idea.
Boy, did we.
We had an idea. Every day, Joe and I are on the phone or we're texting. We just like, what can we do? What can we do? What should we do? One thing where we were coming up with ideas for this episode is we said we should find out what the New York City mayoral candidates' songs of the summer are.
So we reached out to all of them.
We sure did.
At least the big four.
Yes, I don't know about beyond the four, but we reached out to the four leading candidates, and that would be Eric Adams, Zoran Mamdani, Andrew Cuomo, and Curtis Sliwa. We heard back from two of them.
And if you're listening right now or watching, I want you to guess in your head which two New York City mayoral candidates Popcast heard back from. I don't think it's the two you would land on, but let's watch them both and we'll go from there.
We'll see you tapped in.
Hey, Bobcast, John and Joe, this is Armand Dani, and my pick for Song of the Summer is Farts by Daffy Duck. I picked this song because New Yorkers need fun, especially in the most expensive city in the United States of America, because every time you hear OVO Badass at the beginning of a song, you know it's going to be a banger, and because it features two great artists, Davido, whose song it is, and the sample of Brenda Fassie's Bulli Ndlela. Let me know what you think.
What's going on, Popcast? Let me tell you, after a long day on the campaign trail, Nancy and I, my wife, we both love EDM, electronic dance music. It's a mood elevator. You're listening to it 2, 3 in the morning. What do we like the most? Funk. And the song, The Best Day of My Life. Let me tell you something, when I get elected mayor, it's going to be the best day of my life on November 4th of 2025. It's sworn in January 1st, 2026. But what it does is, as I'm laying back and thinking about the day with all the problems, it just lifts the both of us. So by the time I wake up in a few hours, I'm really feeling good. I'm sparked up. I'm energized. I'm good to go. It's not heavy on the brain. It just makes me feel so good. So remember, all of you in Popcast, as I come from Coney Island, I had to share my EDM experience that I love with all of you.
Here's my top line takeaways. Number one, Mr. Mamdani can have either of these chairs, potentially better at our jobs than we are. A great pick, a really interesting song, a lot of layers to it. My second take is listening to Curtis Sliwa talk about EDM is like listening to my father talk about EDM. It's extremely like posi triggering for me.
It's like it's making you feel warm and fuzzy in a childhood way.
I genuinely want to you've heard my father speak. Nobody who's listening to this or watching this has heard my father speak, but this is like listening to my father do my job.
I don't think Mr. Sliwa is getting enough rest. He's in his early 70s. He's talking about going
outside
to bed at 2 and waking up to go ride the cyclone.
He's outside. Also, is he saying he listens to it in the morning?
No, right before bed.
Oh, right before bed. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Because this
to
is also
clear his head for the morning.
Because this is also giving day party energy for what it's
yeah,
worth.
Yeah.
Should we listen to a little bit of both of these songs?
For sure.
Get I know. Something that you do not know. Whether or not traffic I be go slow. Baby, I promise I go still show.
So that's Fun by Davido with Odumodu Black and Chike. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Summer Jam with Davido?
With him.
Like trailing him for a story that unfortunately did not happen for a variety of reasons. Anyway, went to Summer Jam, was on stage at Summer Jam with Davido. Great day.
Maybe Zoran was there too and you just didn't know it yet.
That's true.
Let's listen to Curtis Sliwa's pick. Yeah. This is Best Day of My Life by Bunt and Tom O'Dell.
Tom O'Dell.
Did you know it was an EDM summer, or is this news to you?
This is news to me. Like I said, my main takeaway from 3 or 4 of the selections is I absolutely am not outside.
You're definitely not having a summer like some of these people are.
I'm not going to day parties.
No beach for you.
No, definitely not going
no
to the
yacht.
Beach.
We talked about this. You were not on any yachts.
Nobody wanted to invite me on a yacht this year.
So it's next year.
What are the milieu in which these songs are being heard? It's a genuine question. Like I like to think I'm in a man of many milieu.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of things. I'm absorbing a lot of data. All this stuff, right past me.
See you at the pool at the Standard?
Yeah, see you. Yeah.
We'll
see
go
you
do
poolside.
Some research?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Work on our tans.
Speak for yourself. All right. Speaking of a man who's outside, the original outside.
Yes.
That man is Jeff Goldblum, who sat right here.
Yep. In a different layout. Not
different configuration. He was
chairs.
On the floor. Yeah. He wasn't skating.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum dropped the gem. Can we see what Jeff's song of this summer is?
Yes.
Yeah.
John, Joe, howdy doody. It's Jeff Goldblum. And yes, thank you for asking. My song of the summer, well, listen to this, Leve. I love Leve, and she has a song called Lover Girl, which I'm crazy about. I can't stop listening to it. You know how I found out about my band, the Mildred Sintz Orchestra? As you know, a couple of the members there play with her, so they introduced me to the song, and I really love it. You know, it's kind of reminds me of those 60s bossa nova things that I was enchanted with Jobim and Stan Getz. This one has has a flute and saxophone. It's like that, but it's a new twist on it. She's just terrific. So all you guys just check it out if you haven't heard it. There you go. Mwah. Song of the Summer.
So that was Jeff Goldblum, actor, jazz musician.
Why are we doing that more?
Former podcast guest. Let's listen to Jeff's pick. As John blows kisses. This is A Lover Girl by Loive. It's not merengue.
First of all, I believe that pop music is an umbrella. All these threads are united.
I do want to note, Jeff Goldblum lives in Italy.
Oh, I bet this goes in Italy.
Yeah, so it's like,
if
again,
you're
with,
if you're within
context,
here's the thing, if you're within
10
kilometers of Lake Como, yeah, this goes dummy. Yeah. It absolutely goes dummy. No, I feel like Loive is a musician about whom I've had like weird fight conversations with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Has like triggered like some real, maybe some negativity in some
deep
people.
Feelings in the jazz heads.
Absolutely.
From what I hear.
Absolutely. Like I don't see her music in that matrix necessarily. I think it's not necessarily trying to be that. Some people might lump it in there. I don't really see it that way. This feels like the best Loive song that I've heard so far. I feel like the sound is maturing. It feels richer. It feels more in depth. The singing was always good, but it kind of like almost had a propriety to it that I feel like it's just loosening ever so slightly. I think this goes.
Our colleague Ben Cesario,
yeah,
just did a big piece about this very thing, the sort of push and pull between jazz and pop,
mm-hmm,
from this young artist. Go read that if you haven't. Yeah, great pick, Jeff
Goldblum.
Great pick,
yeah. Yeah, no arguments. Although we shall now argue.
Yeah, so we have one more submission video.
Yes.
That we're going to save for the very end. You'll
dare
see
I say
why.
Dare I say it's the submission video. It's the submission that makes the other submission submit.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to go out with that. But before we do, John, you and I are going to pick our personal songs of this summer.
A false concept about a fall season.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we want to play along with all these very game guests.
Yes.
So we too.
And feel free to roast our choices as well.
Yes. Get in the comments.
Yes.
YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Wherever you get your podcasts, tell us that our songs suck. John, you want to go first?
I think that before we do that, I'd really love to have something to chew on.
Yeah, okay. So why don't we take it all the way back to the Popcast Deluxe days? Me and you will eat and rate a snack while we talk about our personal songs this
summer. I think it sounds great. Is it Sophie's choice?
It is. Our producer, Sophie Erickson, is choosing a snack for us. This has never been done on the podcast set before. I see what she just pulled off of the table. She has a demonic look in her eyes.
Unbelievable.
And she's about to hand us.
I bought this.
Hawaiian Punch cotton candy, which has been sitting in the snack pantry for a couple months now.
I was going to say years.
Somehow it's not expired, although.
Really?
Oh, no, it's expired.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. There's no way that's
depends
not
on if they're putting the month or the day first, but either way, it's basically expired.
Okay. What's your relationship with Hawaiian Punch?
You have to ask seven-year-old me. Like, I don't remember.
Okay, I used to go to summer camp.
Is it not illegal now? Like, is there Hawaiian Punch?
This is like the Four Loko of kids' drinks?
Yeah.
Okay, I used to go to summer camp in Bay Ridge and
you and Curtis Sliwa.
Real talk. And they would always give us like a juice break in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And we used to have these tiny little plastic cups that had numbers on the bottom for some reason. And
it was for the experiment to keep track of which kids got the
game.
Placebo
squid,
which kids
Squid Game type beat. And the days where like sometimes it was apple juice, sometimes it was orange juice.
But it was a mystery?
You didn't know what it was going to be until you lined up. The days when it was Hawaiian Punch.
Kids are bouncing off the walls.
Unbelievable. Like the absolute high points of my summer. This is a great summer snack. Excellent pick.
All right. So,
I think I'm going to be physically ill after I eat this for sure.
Are you going to take a bite of Hawaiian Punch cotton candy before you tell me what your song of the summer is?
What kind of scrape will it leave on the palate?
That's a risk you're gonna
I'm gonna do
take.
It first.
All right,
I'm gonna do it first.
I'm gonna grab a. You like cotton candy in general?
I do. I like the meltiness of it.
Yeah.
I like the kind of the instability of it. I can't eat loads of it,
sure.
But I like the instability.
I don't
of
think
it.
One is supposed to eat loads of cotton candy. But I agree. I don't have the childhood memories you do around Hawaiian Punch, but I do with cotton candy. going to like a sporting event, baseball game, basketball game. Got to get the cotton candy.
For
you
all
just pulled the whole pillow out.
For all the cameras.
just take a, just go ahead. I'm not going to go back in. You just take a bite. You just take a bite of that.
Oh my God.
Mm. Okay. Definitely tastes like cotton candy. I don't taste Hawaiian punch. Maybe I don't know what Hawaiian punch tastes like.
No, I agree. It tastes more like cotton candy than it does Hawaiian punch.
I mean, that's a hard, that's a tough wrestling match. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, the chew really gets to the chewy part.
Like when the sugar all, it yeah. melts and then it congeals again. Yeah. Oh. I mean, it's certainly sweet.
I'm just doing it for the plot, guys. I can't argue with this.
It's sugar.
It's just sugar.
It's hurting my throat.
I would say this is a violent 8.
It's a violent 4.
No, it does exactly what it's supposed to do, but what it's supposed to do is heinous.
4 out of 10.
8.
while you try to maneuver that cotton candy back in the bag, can you cleanse my palate with a summer anthem?
1-2-step in the box, get jiggy. Get jiggy. Okay, so I don't want to choose a song that I did for Song of the Week. I don't want to pick one of those songs. Mm-hmm. If I did, it would be Get Jiggy. 1-2-step in the box, get jiggy. 1-2-step in the box, get jiggy. Right. But I was like, what else is in that universe? Pop drill, comedy drill, meme drill. Like, what's in that universe? And there's a song, it's actually from last year, but it's recently had a resurgence on TikTok. It's by Zeddy Will, who's a content creator and rapper, who's on Get Jiggy. This is a song of his. It's called Can't Go Broke. This is the remix. I think it's mostly the remix because it's now it's popular on TikTok. So I would say my song of the summer, which is to say the song that I've enjoyed most for the last 4 days, and which will maybe be gone, no disrespect, in 2 weeks, which is fine. Zeddy Will, Can't Go Broke Remix. Check it out.
I'm a player, nigga. I be passing like Jerry West. Ready Crown Street, bro. I know you staying at. You shot the wrong person. Who the f*** was you aiming at? I'm talking to a label. What's
great pick, John.
Thanks, Dad.
I thought about this a lot.
Yeah?
I don't have a song of the summer.
Okay.
If I'm being honest.
You could have told us that 70 minutes
look,
ago.
No, I'm here. I'm doing the exercise. If I'm going to be honest about the song that I've listened to the most this summer.
Oh, Lord.
And this was leaked on Instagram. Someone asked for a list from a bunch of peers, friend of the show, Shad D'Souza.
Oh, sure.
Made a list.
I'm
and
on
I told list. Him the truth, yes. Which is The Wheels on the Bus is my song of the summer.
That is fair. Yes.
I have a toddler. She asks me for Wheels constantly.
Yeah.
She does the hand motions. Maybe we'll play a little bit of it if my wife approves.
Wow.
I know every rendition. I got my own renditions. You know, Cocomelon. You know, there's
multiple versions of it.
I mean, it's a standard.
Like a cat's eye.
It's like cat's Jeff Goldblum would understand. This is like cat's this is version. An American standard. Yeah. Yes. Zeddy Will remix.
Wheels on the Bus.
The Wheels on the Bus.
Gnarly.
I won't subject anyone to hearing the song as many times as I have. What happened over the weekend before we filmed this, Metro Boomin put out a mixtape called Futuristic Summer. This is referring back to the swag rap futuristic era of Atlanta.
Early 2010s.
Pre-streaming, post-CDs. This is near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yep.
You're talking Young L.A. and Young Dro, Black Boy, White Boy mixtape. Mm-hmm. You're talking Travis Porter, their mixtape run.
Unbelievable.
Rich Kids, very early Young Thug, J Money, all of whom are on this. Roscoe Dash is on this tape. This is a all-star collection of Atlanta semi-underground superheroes.
Also, it's like, you know how you go to like Summer Jam? And you think like, well, this is all of hip hop, but really it's like a very
New York hip-hop.
Right. It's a very
tri-state hip hop.
Yeah, it's a very specific micro niche concept of what the most important rap music is.
Yeah.
You go to Birthday Bash. I feel like I'm always seeing these videos from Atlanta's Birthday Bash, which is Summer Jam for Atlanta. And there'll always be someone will bring out 5 or 6 of these guys from this generation. And people lose it.
Yes.
for like 15 or 20 minutes in total, like this is the best, most fun music on the planet.
And when people nod back to sounds from the recent or not so recent past, it's not always period accurate.
Yes.
This mixtape, period accurate. My Song of the Summer, brand new. They Want to Have Fun. This one has Travis Porter. That's Quez, Strap, and Ali trio. This has Young Dro, one of the all-time underrated rappers in recent history. I've always said Atlanta's own Cameron, like just beloved, crazy wordsmith. Nobody has worked with Colors like Young Dro has worked with Colors. Gucci Mane's on here. It's produced by Metro Boomin, Zaytoven, Bobby Critical with DJ Spins yelling all over it. She wanna have some fun.
Hopefully we'll tell people also to go read the piece where I went to Atlanta and hung out with Travis Porter for a couple nights, a couple wild nights, and hung out with rich kids in the parking lot, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, good times. Early 2010s, anything was possible.
Before we go out, we have one last submission. This is the epic of the bunch.
It is. It is an outlier in more ways than one. When I got this video in, I was like, I can't believe it's like, it almost like undermines the entire, like, why are we talking about the song of this summer? Well, we should be talking about the nature of summerdom in music itself. Who better to do that than Questlove? Questlove dropped a video essay on us.
Yeah, look, we asked for, let's just pull back the curtain. We asked for 30 to 60 seconds, preferably a new song. Questlove gave us 4+ minutes and an old song, but he earned it. Let's play his video.
Greetings, Earthlings, good people, Popcast World, John Joe. This is Questlove of the legendary Roots Crew. Gotta say that spending 2.5 years with Sly Stone, who recently just passed away, I'd be remiss if I decided to not make my summer song the original summer song, which is, of course, Hot Fun in the Summertime. And what's beautiful about this song that I only learned once I did this film is that Sly is using this sort of beautiful, ironic backdrop, lush strings, a jazzy swing, really sweet melody to paint a summer that none of us really get to experience. The county fair and the country sun, and like when you hear it, just the level of synesthesia and fantasy, it's like, it's the idea of what should be. But it feels so real and surreal that you actually feel like it always happens when it comes on. Even when I hear it now, when I hear the triplets, it just brings me to a place of like, but what's even more brilliant is that in this song of beauty, Hot Fun in the Summertime is secretly also Sly's version of Not Like Us, using his sister to buck shots at his competition, which would be Norman Whitfield and the members of the Temptations, who, of course, once they heard Sly going psychedelic, they totally threw those Motown suits and the charm schooling, crossing your legs and, you know, drinking tea with a cup and yes, sir, and no, ma'am. They threw that all out the window to become psychedelic funk like Sly and the Family Stone. So, you know, Rose's lines about, I'll climb nine when I want to. It's kind of a middle finger to the Temptations. Like, yeah, I invented that, not you. So I don't know. Hot Fun in the Summertime will forever be my song of the summer, and especially apropos now that Sly's no longer here with us.
So Questlove obviously recently directed a documentary about Sly Stone. Sly, I imagine, is heavy on his mind. And this song is a fascinating pick because, again, it's not so much the song of this summer is such an evanescent choice. It implies the beginning and the end of something. It implies that the minute Labor Day comes, when you're done at the Michael Rubin party.
Canceled.
Yeah, canceled. That's true. But when you were done at the Michael Rubin party with your custom all white Travis ones, that song sort of like dematerialized. This is something that's about revisiting a concept of freedom and spirituality and lightness at all times.
You want to go out with Sly and the Family Stone?
Very much so.
Have fun in the summertime?
We'll do that. That's our show, nytimes.com/popcast for all our episodes. You can see us here on YouTube at youtube.com/popcast, Instagram, TikTok, also at popcast. We want to say a big thank you to everybody who submitted videos. It's a vulnerable thing to share your taste with other people. I know because I do it all the time. You do it all the time. We appreciate you sharing your taste with us and with the podcast audience. We'll be back next week.